scripture today is going to come from the book of Samuel. The book of Samuel, chapter 17. First Samuel, chapter 17. I've been reading and praying on this scripture for the past couple of weeks now. There's been some developments in my home church. I've had a couple of church members that were faced with some unexpected sickness and trials. We unfortunately had to attend the funeral of one of our church members that passed away recently from cancer. And then there's been a number of things that has happened with some lifelong friends of mine from college. And so in praying for them, the Spirit brought this scripture to my mind. And it's a common story that we've all heard, but it has so much meaning to it. And so from 1 Samuel chapter 17, we are going to start around the second verse and just read a few verses down, but we'll talk from this chapter at length today. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 2, "And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing the shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." I'm going to stop right there and speak today from the subject of overcoming your Goliath. Overcoming your Goliath. We all have faced what I like to call a Goliath. That is some problem or some instance or some trial in our life that at the time seems to be insurmountable. Here we have Israel and they were engaged in a battle against what seemed to be their eternal enemy, the Philistines. And the Bible so eloquently painted the picture of them and this battle. Israel was on one mountain, and their army was camped out on that side of the mountain, and the Philistines were on the other side of that mountain, and their armies was camped out, and there was a valley in between them. And so you have these two armies that are facing one another with a valley between them, and the Philistines had a champion. Goliath. He was a giant, a beast of a man. The Bible said he was 6 cubits and a span high, which equal about 9 feet. And he probably stood a good 4 feet, 3 to 4 feet over the tallest Israelite that they had. And they described his helmet and his head and his brass and his coat of mail. And so he was a imposing figure. And so as I studied and read on this and thought about this, there were some initial observations that came up. And Goliath to me is a representation of all of the challenges and trials that we have in our lives as children of God. You know, we all face at one time or another some event that comes up in our lives unexpectedly, and how many of us can plan for an event to happen that we didn't expect? None of us can plan for sickness. None of us can plan for death. None of us can plan for the loss of a job or the loss of a child or whatever it may be that is a Goliath or is a stumbling block. None of us can plan for these things to come. And so Israel didn't plan for this great Goliath to come before them, but he was there standing before them, and they had the initial reaction that most of us have, and that's only natural to have, and that was they were afraid. They were afraid of this champion of the Philistines that stood before them. And so when he stood before them and he issued this challenge, the Bible said they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Fear is a natural feeling, but it shouldn't control how we act during times of trials in our life. Yeah, fear is something that God gave all of us in terms of being a natural emotion, but he also told us, be ye not afraid, I am with you. Yeah, he's gonna walk with us through our trials. And so here we have Saul and Israel, they were dismayed, and David was the son of Jesse, and he was at home with his father tending the sheep. The Bible said that Jesse had 8 sons, and it said 3 of them, the eldest, went with Saul out to the battlefield, and they were part of his army, and David was the youngest. David stayed behind, and he was a shepherd boy. He tended the sheep. Now he had been anointed, you know, a little while earlier by the prophet, and but that anointing didn't change who David was. It didn't change his behavior, and so he wanted to stay behind, tend the sheep. But his brothers went out with Saul to fight, and David's father. You know, they never mentioned the other 4 brothers. I always thought that was kind of funny. It was 8 of them. They mentioned the 3 oldest. They mentioned the youngest. And, you know, that middle child sometimes always gets lost in the shuffle when you have children. But the father went to the youngest child and said, I want you to go down, David. I want you to check on your brothers. Okay? And I want you to take them some provisions, some food, some parched corn, some other things, and I want you to give me a report on how they're doing. And so David, following the instructions of his father, went down, and it just so happened that as he got there, it was the time that Goliath went out and issued his challenge. Now, he had been doing this for 40 days, issuing the challenge to Israel, and for 40 days, they cowered, they were afraid, they went back away from Goliath, and no one stepped forward to accept the challenge. And just as David was arriving there, David heard the challenge, and David reacted differently than anybody else in Israel. He questioned, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? that he should challenge the army of the living God. David wasn't afraid of that Goliath. He wasn't afraid of this man, but because he knew that he had someone that he could trust in. And so his fear wasn't there, and he reacted differently, so much so that the word of his actions, of his questioning of Goliath, of the way he responded, got back to King Saul. And King Saul went in and he spoke with David because he wanted to know who was this young man that was coming up saying these things. Yeah, and so David, when he explained to King Saul who he was and why he said what he said, King Saul said, well, you don't have the experience, all right? And so that's the second observation that I saw in this story, in that when it comes to facing your Goliath, your natural experience means nothing. Saul told David, he said, you know, you haven't fought any battles, you haven't been to war, you haven't killed a man before, did any of these things, but he was speaking of natural experience. You know, in the world that we live in today, your natural experience means a whole lot. I work in HR, and so one of the things that we do when someone applies for a job is we look at their resume, and we look at what kind of experience they have in the particular job that they are applying to. And so, you know, we try to choose the most experienced person. We try to choose someone that has done the things that we require of them to do, because the natural thinking is if this person has done it before for another company, then they can do it well for us. And so that's the natural way of thinking of things. And so Saul was thinking of things from that natural standpoint. You are a young man, a shepherd. You've never been to war. You never fought a giant like this. How can you say the things that you're saying? But David, he wasn't speaking from a natural sense. He gave Saul the examples of how God had delivered a bear when the bear came to threaten his sheep. He gave the example of how God had delivered the lion to him. And so he knew that his God could deliver him from any situation that he's in. So when it comes to facing your Goliath, yeah, none of us have experience dealing with a trial, a tribulation that has come up. And none of us have probably gone through those things before, but we can look back on our lives. We can look back on what God has already brought us through. How many times I look back on my life and things that I thought were small incidents, or things that in my natural mind I thought that maybe I was smart enough to have gotten myself out of, and I look back on it and I realize it wasn't me, but it was God that brought me through those things. Times where I've lost loved ones, times where I've lost friends, times where I've had health issues of my own, and I thought, well, I'll go to this doctor, I'll go to this specialist, and it's fine going to those places. But at the end of the day, I realize now that everything was in God's hands. And so David knew that natural experience, yeah, he wasn't a warrior, he wasn't a fighter, but he knew that God would give him what he needed, yeah, in order to be able to fight this Goliath. And so he talked to Saul, and Saul, once he heard his words, Saul then, instead of being against David or questioning David, he tried to be his ally. You know, Saul said, well, I'm going to give you my armor. I'm going to give you my sword. I'm going to give you my equipment. You can pull all of this on, and you can go out and you can fight Goliath. And so David, he put on the armor of Saul. He put on all of the help, I put that in air quotes, that Saul gave him. And David realized he couldn't even move in them. He realized that he couldn't even lift the sword or do whatever. And so he told Saul that I can't wear these, I haven't proved them, and so he pulled them off. And so sometimes our friends, they try to be our allies. My third observation is they try to be our allies. They try to help us out. They try to give us tools that we need to go through a situation. How many times have you been going through something and you call up a friend or a friend call you up and they give you what they call sage advice? Oh, well, I think you need to do this. Oh, you should do this and you should do that. And so many times it comes from a place of goodness in their heart. Yeah, but that's not exactly what the Lord may want you to do at that particular time. And so Saul was trying to help David out from what he thought, yeah, was what David needed. But sometimes your allies can kind of help you out, but actually they're not. The worldly armor that Saul was given, yeah, wasn't what David needed to fight his Goliath. Saul was giving him something that the world said you needed to fight a giant. He was giving him armor and a shield and a breastplate and a sword. Yeah, and sometimes we get advice from people who are giving us worldly advice. Well, I think you need to do this or that. When really what we need to do is go to the Lord. Go to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Lord on our knees. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That means that our weapons that we use to fight, the weapons that we use in our everyday battles with our Goliaths, with our things that challenge us, with things that come up in our lives, they're not carnal, they're not physical, they're not of this world. They're not weapons of flesh and blood, but they are weapons that are mighty what? Through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. And so our weapons that we use, yeah, are through God. There's a scripture, one familiar that we've all heard, that we should put on what? The whole armor of God. Yeah, when we are fighting against our Goliaths, when we're fighting against these things. And so Saul, even though he was trying to help David, he was offering him things that David didn't need. And once David tried them on, he realized, I can't use these things. I have to use, yeah, what God has given me. And so that leads me to, you know, how can we overcome our Goliaths? And David knew that first and foremost, what he had to do was just show up. Many times in our lives, we are faced with our trials and our tribulations. We are faced with things that come in our life, and we do like Israel did in the very beginning. We don't show up. We shy away. We are afraid to face the challenges. I have been there. There have been times in my life when I knew there's something that I should deal with, and I put it off as long as I could dealing with it because I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to deal with it. It was too painful to acknowledge that this was a problem or this is something that I need to take care of. And I didn't take it to the Lord. I didn't use the knowledge and the wisdom and the word that he gave me to lead and guide me. And I relied on my worldly thoughts of, if I don't think about it, if I don't acknowledge it, if I don't face it, then I don't have to worry about it. When really that's not the case. The only thing that does is make our Goliath just that much bigger. But David knew that, one, you must show up. James, over in the book of James, a lot of people thought that James and Paul were kind of at odds with each other. Of course, Paul said, "We're saved by grace," and that is not of works. And we know that God chose his people in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we didn't have anything to do with it. We can't work our way into salvation. And so when James came and said that faith without works is dead, there were some that believed that James was saying that you could somehow work your way into salvation. But really what James was saying was that if you have the knowledge of your grace and that you've been saved since the foundation of the world, the fact that God gave you this free gift that we didn't have anything to do with, that we was unmerited, then your works ought to show and prove that you understand that this gift came from God. And so your works shows the gift that God had already given you that you didn't have anything to do with. And so here, you know, faith without works is dead. What I'm saying is you have to show up. Yeah, you have to show up and you have to show that you have faith, in the Lord, in what he had already given you. So David, he showed up and he went out there and he stood before Goliath. So much so that when Goliath saw him, he kind of laughed. He said, are you sending a child out before me? Are you sending this young man? But you had to have confidence in your abilities. Yeah, confidence in the fact that God is going to deliver you, from the situation that you're in. Now, if you look at David and if you look at Goliath, they both had something to say. All right, Goliath was prideful. There's a difference between confidence and being prideful. So many times people think that being prideful is confidence. But we all know that pride leads to a downfall. And Goliath was very prideful in his dealings and his talking to Israel and how he put them down. But we know that David was confident. Confident in the fact that his Lord would deliver him from Goliath. My mind goes back to a sermon I did a few weeks ago about Daniel and the three Hebrew boys. When the king had made the decree about the music and everyone should fall down and worship, and when the three Hebrew boys didn't worship, they told the king, you know, our God, he is able to deliver us from your fiery furnace. And even if he doesn't, we know he's able. So they were confident in that they were facing their Goliath at the time, which was the fiery furnace, which was the decree from the king. And they knew that they had to do the right thing. And even if God didn't deliver them from the fiery furnace, they knew that he was able to. And so David had that same mindset. And if you look throughout the Bible, many of God's people, they had that same mindset in that we know that God is able to bring us through. So not only do we have to show up, not only do we have to face whatever the situation is, whatever the Goliath is in our life, but we have to face it with confidence, knowing that God is able to bring us through. And so David was able to do that. He was able to have confidence in the fact that he knew that God had brought him through the bear, brought him through the lion, brought him through those things. And he knew that not being prideful, because pride goes before destruction, but he knew that this confidence in God would deliver him. And so he had to speak that. And so overcoming also starts with our mouth. You know, there's powerful power of the spirit in the tongue. Proverbs verse 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Goliath was cursing David, saying all manner of things about Israel and about David and about his God, and openly saying that he defied the armies of the living God. But David opened his mouth and he spoke victory over Goliath. He never doubted the fact that God would bring him through. How many times in our life have we had a situation that seemed insurmountable? A situation that the experts and maybe even friends and family had already written off as something that can't be solved, or something that can't be healed, or a situation that was so bad. And when you hear those words, when you hear the very people around you, sometimes you may even start thinking that way. And sometimes you may even speak those words. Well, you know, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You know, those words carry power in them, and that is not showing the confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we should have as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, but David, when he stood before Goliath, never having faced a challenge like that before, he knew that God would deliver him some sort of way. He didn't need the armor of Saul. He didn't need the armies of men behind him. He didn't need the swords and the shield. The Bible said that he went out with just his shepherd gear. He had a sling. And the Bible says that as he was walking toward Goliath, he stooped down and he picked up 5 smooth stones out of the river. Which leads me to my fourth point on overcoming your Goliath with use what you have. Use what God has given you to overcome your Goliath. God has given all of us the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. He said, I go away so that the Comforter may come. We all have the Spirit of God with us. And there was a president, I think it was Theodore Roosevelt, he said in a speech a long time ago, do what you can with what you have where you are. Sometimes we don't have all of the tools and the resources, but we have what God has given us. And God will give us what we need in order to overcome. So David, he had these 5 smooth stones. But most importantly, David knew that he had the Lord. And the Lord would give him everything that he needed. David, he, even from a young man, he always trusted in the Lord. The Bible said that when he was a young man, he was tending out of the sheep. And the Lord, he had done away with old King Saul. The Bible tells me that the Lord went to the prophet and told him, go down to the house, prophet, the house of Jesse. I prepared me a king there. And the prophet, old Samuel, when he went down there, he told Jesse, bring before me all of your sons. And when the oldest came before him, he told himself, surely this must be the king, because he looked like a king, and he talked like a king. But God told the prophet, his heart isn't right. Man looks on the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. He saw David down in the field when he came. David's father said, I have one more son, a little lad. He's ruddy, not much to look at. But when God saw David, his oil began to run, because David had the heart of a shepherd. He loved God, and he stood on God's word. When you have a Goliath in your house, you gotta stand on God's word. You gotta believe that God will bring you through any trial or tribulation. That's why David, when he stood there and saw Goliath, even though the other men, they ran with fear, he stood stood firm on God's word. He knew that God would deliver him just like he had done in times past. I'm here to tell you, church, whatever trial you're going through, whatever giant is in your life, think back on how far God has brought you to this point, and just know he will deliver you from anything in your life. David stood there before Goliath, and he picked up those five stones, put one in his sling, and ran toward his Goliath. He didn't run away, he didn't hide, but he ran toward his biggest challenge with the Lord on his side. Won't the Lord fight your battles? I'm here to tell you, yes, he will. When he slung that stone, he killed that giant with one sling, and he was able to deliver Israel. He was able to deliver them from the giant. Yeah, he stood firm on what he believed in. Yeah, he knew that God would bring him through, because God had always took care of him. He didn't let fear overcome his thinking. Yeah, but he stood there and he trusted in God. He spoke that. There's power in our tongue. He spoke that because he knew that, being a child of God, God had already given him the victory from the very foundations of the world. Yeah, but and whatever God had in store for him, he knew that God would bring him through it. Yeah, and so many times we have these Goliaths in our life, and we can let doubt creep in. It's only natural, but we have to remember that we are children of God. Yeah, he has chosen us from the foundation of the world to be his sons, to be his daughters. Yeah, he's already given us the victory, and it's a gift of God. And so we have to stand firm in that belief. We have to stand firm in our knowledge of our salvation that was given to us through Jesus Christ, and know that whatever our challenge is, whatever our Goliath is, God is going to give us what we need in order to be able to address that challenge, to not only address it, but obtain victory. And victory might not be what we think it is. Sometimes I look back on my life and things happen that I thought at the time were not great. But now that I look back on it years later, I realize that's exactly how God wanted it to be. That's exactly the thing that I needed at that particular time, even though I didn't think that that was what I wanted it to be. So we just have to trust and believe that God will give us the victory, and that all of his actions are good and righteous.